I just realized, hi everybody, welcome to Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. Nick Rogers in for Steve for the remainder of today and for tomorrow. Rest of the week, Steve's been out and I have been subbing in. I just realized I did this the thing that Steve always talks about, or I always kind of laugh at Steve for doing, which is at the top of the hour when the show is going to start or when he should have his headphones on and be ready for the show to begin. That happens at the same time every day. And there's, you know, the 3 to 4 minutes of breaks that happen in between every segment. You kind of know when the show is going to get back on. You hear the open. It kind of triggers like, oh, hey, the show is going to start, the thing that you do for a living. And with me, I completely forgot it was happening. We got lost in the uniform conversation that we were having, and I just completely forgot what was going on, and I just didn't even know that basically the show had started. So I'm slowly becoming Steve. It hasn't taken very long, but I've slowly become Steve Tannen, basically is what's happening here.
Oh,
did you have a drop?
I did not have a drop.
Oh,
no,
I thought you were going to a drop.
I thought you had a statement coming, but all right, cool.
I am digging through Tyson Alger's athletic page because there's a website in there and one of the articles that he wrote quite a long time ago about a uniform tracker that Oregon put together to talk about all of the great uniforms that they've worn in the past, and I can't quite find it.
Oh, there are some great blogs. There's a blog. I'll pull it up right now. Yeah, it'll take you back.
There's a specific website I'm trying to think of that I just can't think of right now. But I did say during the lightning round, my favorite uniform combination ever is the black, yellow, black, which Nick Cody tweeted us, him doing the full-on lineman jump with... Ooh, I want to say, is that LaMike? Is that, I think it's LaMichael, it might be Kenyon, I'm not quite sure. But basically the photos of Nick Cody jumping up and celebrating with his running back or wide receiver teammate that scored a touchdown. But it's my favorite uniform combo ever. Welcome everybody to Sports Talk, again without Steve Tannen. You can hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore as always. You can also go to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline 284-8571 and the text line 321-0824. It's finally going to happen. This is basically the closest that we're going to get to a faux show, which is, again, something I've talked about before, where basically we don't have Sports Talk with, you know, as Steve is here, I basically take over a segment or take over the show for a day. And it's taken me 2 days of hosting to realize that this is exactly what I can do. So this is maybe you want to call it the faux show. We've been calling it a Make You Mad Thursday, which doesn't really work out alliteratively, but we're rolling with it anyways. And these are some of the dumb debates that you've gotten into with your friends over the years about whatever. These are, you know, debates on the internet that you're pretty tired of seeing, and, you know, debates that maybe you're sick of, things that you've almost fought friends with over. There's all-time classics. Can you put ketchup on a hot dog? Can ketchup go on a hot dog? It's great. I think yes, you can put ketchup on a hot dog, because why wouldn't you put ketchup on a hot dog? It's a hot dog. Do you know what's in a hot dog? You kind of don't want to know when you eat a hot dog what's in the hot dog. Put ketchup on the hot dog. It's fine. We'll get over it. You'll be okay putting ketchup on a hot dog. Again, you don't have to, but don't make fun of people who do. It's a sweet, delicious, you know, topping that goes on top. And you can also put your mustard, your relish, or whatever on it. Now, if you're doing kielbasa or brats or something that, you know, time and care has been put into making this sausage or, you know, whatever you're eating, maybe you don't use ketchup. Maybe you do use maybe a fancier mustard, or you go with some onions or chopped onions, caramelized onions. You make it work. Some peppers even. Oh, that'd be fancy. Oh, sausage and peppers and onions. It's an all-time classic combo. So we're going to actually go now to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Again, you can call in 284-8571 or text us 321-0824. We go now to Fred on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Fred, how you doing?
Good. This is the Rick Nodgers show, right?
Yes.
You're going to take over it and just kind of go for the big six-figure salary?
Yeah, well, that's actually half of what Steve makes. So I think that's the starting point for me there, yeah.
Hey, the biggest fight we've ever had was over Rubble Duck. One of my buddies just missed him, and it took like the other five of us on the back nine to convince him that Rubble Duck was not all that good.
Wow. Wait, so you have friends that thought Rubble Duck was a good mascot, or did they just think that Rubble Duck never happened?
They thought Rubble Duck was it.
Oh, really? Like the go-to mascot for Oregon.
Yeah, and we convinced them on the back nine that that was just a bad idea.
Good.
Yeah, good job there, Fred. Appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, Roboduck, man, that was not the best mascot in bursting out of the egg and just what he looked like. And I think one of my friends...
I would just like to point out really quick that Roboduck did it before Lady Gaga did it. Just putting it out there.
Beautiful. Yeah, man, like it... Roboduck was just weird. Like, I've only seen the videos of, like, his debut, which didn't go very well, obviously, and people didn't like the way he looked. And it was just, as a mascot in general, like, do what Notre Dame does, where your mascot is a person who looks like, you know, a fighting an Irishman who fights, or, you know, a leprechaun, or whatever the Notre Dame mascot is, or, you know, the Mountaineer. West Virginia actually has a guy who looks like a logger and is a Mountaineer. And, like, if it's full on 100% person, that's fine. You can also go the complete other way, which is what, like, 98% of people do with mascots. It's just a cartoon. You can't do what Roboduck did and what Kansas State does, which is some sort of morph between the two where they look like a person and then at the same time they're a mascot and they've got a weird head on. Kansas State's mascot is one of the creepier ones I've ever seen. If you've ever seen them, it's just like a person in a football uniform with the big wildcat head on. I don't know if maybe in Manhattan, Kansas, they just thought, hey, we'll save some money. We'll only buy the head of a mascot and we'll use an extra football uniform. Or if maybe that's just kind of what it's always been. I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
This thing is terrifying. I just pulled up a picture of it. This is terrifying.
No, it would be fine if it was just a full-on, like, cat in a football jersey, like most mascots are, which is just, you know, the animal or the thing that represents the team and then wearing the jersey that they are. Again, Roboduck just looked like a person. Yeah, the eyes in that one are super creepy.
It has beady little eyes, and it's got yellow teeth. It's got, like, this big, gnarly yellow teeth. I mean, if you're trying to be scary, I guess you're pulling it off, but Lord.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
It looks like somebody's mid... What are they? The Wildcats, technically?
Yes. Kansas State?
Yeah. It's like they're mid-Wildcat transformation. Like, it's midnight, and they're about to howl at the moon. It's terrible.
Like an Animorph. They're the midway point of
Animorph.
Animorph. That's a throwback.
That's a throwback
right
there.
That is something that Steve never would have brought
up. Wow.
I would bet $5 Steve doesn't know what an Animorph is. This is off the text line as well. Going off of, can you put ketchup on a hot dog? If you put ketchup on a burger, can you put ketchup on a steak like Patrick Mahomes does? Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because people take their steaks very seriously as hardcore red-blooded Americans. You don't touch your steak with anything. There are some people that think you let the meat do the talking and you just order it to, I think some people think, I go medium rare or medium-ish somewhere in there. And some people think that's too far. Like, no, you got to eat it rare and you don't put anything on it. You let the meat do the talking and the seasoning and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I wouldn't put ketchup on a steak. I would rather go Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, maybe a Worcestershire or a steak sauce of some kind. That's fine. If you really like ketchup that much, I guess you can. I would not go to a steakhouse and order ketchup or order a steak, ask for it to be well done, and then on top of that, ask for ketchup. Because I think
that's blasphemy.
At that point, I don't legally think this is true, but I think at that point they can just ask you to leave.
I mean, my personal move is to, if I'm in the rare scenario where I'm getting a steak, because usually I'm more of a ramen noodle in college kind of guy, but
when you're going out to dinner with your parents are in town,
exactly. I always go medium rare, but then if the house is a sauce, get the house sauce, because they probably know better than I do what sauce is going to work best with their steak.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I want the steak to actually, the steak has to speak for itself, and if the house is a sauce that's good, then great, but man, I don't want to mess with what they're doing too much, because if they're making steaks back there, generally, they usually know what they're doing.
Yeah, my dad texted in, Goose, as some of you know him. I don't think I've ever told my dad that we call him Goose on the show, so this is going to be quite a shocker to him, but Goose says, ketchup should never go on a hot dog, mustard, onions, and relish only, chili and jalapenos are optional. That's where you get into the chili dog, which is completely different from a regular hot dog, but again, you know, you don't have to necessarily, like, you know, I guess you can get mad at people because the point of this is to make you mad. And there are people who are ketchup on the side of ketchup is okay on a hot dog. And then the people that are no, ketchup is never okay on a hot dog. So that's fine. The bigger debate is a hot dog a sandwich?
Okay. All right. This might ruffle feathers. Please feel free to call in and discuss this. This is going to be a fun one. I am under the impression that the key to classifying food is by two things. One, setting in which it's eaten. So like barbecue food, like stuff like that. And or the carbohydrate that's around it. Bun, shell, bread, what have you.
Shell.
A taco, for example.
Oh, okay. Sure,
or
sure,
like
sure.
A little tortilla.
Sure,
whatever
okay.
It is. How it is used around the food. Therefore, a tostada and pizza fall into the same category because it's a flat base with things piled on top of it.
Sure.
Taco and hot dog, same category because they're connected.
Right.
It's two sides.
It's one piece of bread, one piece of corn.
It's one thing that things exactly.
So a taco the same way with the tortilla.
Taco, exactly. Taco, hot dog, same category. But on that same note, burger falls into the sandwich category because it's two on each side, not connected.
Correct.
But at the same time, if you cross-reference it, burger and hot dog both fall into the same category as well. So you have to imagine it like it's...
Well, that's like the square, all rectangles are squares, but not all squares are rectangles.
Exactly.
Okay. So all burgers are hot dogs, but not all hot dogs are burgers.
No, because...
Or all burgers, hot dogs, but not all hot dogs are burgers.
They both fall into the category of what I would say, barbecue, summer, outdoor kind of food. Even though, of course, there are exceptions. You can make them inside if you want to. I do it all the time. But they fall into that category together. They also fall into different categories. It's like you ever seen one of those schedules where they have the different logos along the top, logos along the side. You see where they line
up.
Sure. It's like that, except for you have different category one way, different category the other way, and they often match up. So what I'm willing to say is that where the base or where what you hold it by comes together, that's what determines it. So a burrito and a taco are two different things because a burrito completely encases
right
what you're eating. I mean, you can leave one side open. That's whatever. But it generally totally encases
you
what you're eating.
You want the sides closed so you can walk around with it.
Exactly.
It's portable
Whereas
food.
A taco, there's that open side.
Right.
The open side is different.
Well, most of it's open.
Most of it, the top ridge is open.
Sure.
But I'm saying if you put it on your on the side, you would see that like the one side was open.
Well, the one thing that put me through here is that Wikipedia, which like we talked about yesterday, a very reputable source that
the
you can cite in
source.
All of your papers and everything that you would need is on Wikipedia. They define a sandwich as food typically consisting of vegetables, sliced cheese, meat placed on or between slices of bread, more generally any dish wherein two of more pieces of bread serve as a container or wrapper for another food type.
Two or more is key because you can Big Mac it.
Right, exactly. So that's, again, but the minimum being two is you need the two pieces.
They have to be separate pieces.
So if you take a hot dog bun and you're going to split open your hot dog bun and it rips into two, does it become a sandwich?
I think because it comes, the general look of it, like, of course you can tear it apart. You can tear just about anything apart. If you tear a pizza in two, it's not two different pizzas. It's one pizza torn in half. They're still connected. They're still connected because that's how it originally came. That was its original form. And if it's done correctly, or if it's done without tearing it, then you got the bun connected, even on one side.
Right. So, and again, I don't think people, like, when you go to a ball game and, or, you know, you're at an Emeralds game during the summer, or any other sporting event, and you get a hot dog, you go to the little toppings area that they've got. There's never, rarely ever cheese there, which I think is a problem if a sandwich should have cheese on it, if, of course, you know, you can have cheese. And I don't think chili cheese dogs count when you put the chili and the cheese on it, because that's it's more of like an open face sandwich, and I don't even think open face sandwiches are technically sandwiches because there's only the one piece
open
of bread on the bottom.
Open face sandwich falls in the same category as tostada and pizza.
Really?
Yeah,
that's very
because it's a singular base, nothing enclosing it, and everything piled on top.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. So I guess an open face sandwich is a pizza.
It's not a pizza. That's a very distinct line.
Wow,
a very distinct line.
Sandwiches are pizza.
That's a very distinct line. It, they're It's a very distinct line. They are in the same family. They're in the same category. They're not the same thing.
Fair enough.
That'd be like saying a wolf is a dog. No, it isn't. They're both canines.
Okay, sure. Let us know what you think about hot dogs being sandwiches or ketchup. We got a text on the text line. Again, send us your opinions as well. 321-0824. You can also call in on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. Got a text last night. This guy's wife last night said that a hot dog is a taco. Almost got a divorce on the spot. Another one, ketchup on a steak is a sign of a bad steak. Ketchup on a dog, work. Anti-ketchup on a dog is just an East Coast thing. I agree. Steve is very, I guess he's been a vegetarian for a while, so you know he hasn't had too many hot dogs, but he does talk about you get a dog with some mustard on it, and oh, you never have anything but you know mustard on your dog, and that's all you get. It's just a hot dog and the bread. That's also why he's so against pineapple on pizza, which we'll also be getting to. So yeah, there's so many debates in here as well. So let us know what you think. Again, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. The text line, 321-0824. I'm on Twitter, Rick Nodgers, and Sam, intern Sam, at Samuel101TS. Did I say the station handle? At 953 the score. We're both on that and bouncing around, and yeah, we're having a good time over here. What did you had somebody call in and say?
Yeah,
something?
Jim called in to bring up the point of a slit roll. Because a slit roll, all of a sudden you've got something that would often be put in the sandwich category, but then it's not following those rules, is my question. I kind of lean sandwich, but the fact that what he told me was two or more pieces of bread or a slit roll.
Yeah, because roll is where it gets interesting. And we got a text.
Roll's
in
a
here.
Gray area.
Yeah, so we got a text here as well. Submarine sandwich is set up the same way as a hot dog. Stuff inside folded bread, so a hot dog is pretty similar. It's inside the split bread. I don't know. There's something about the way that you build the sandwich where you've got the bread and then you put the lettuce and the cheese, tomatoes, onions, whatever, your ham, your turkey, your meat, salami, whatever you're putting on it, like all kind of layers up. And I feel like when you do a hot, like you can do that with a sub of any kind when you're cutting the bread open or anything like that. You can't really do that with a hot dog. Like the best you can do is, you know, just kind of line the bread with, you know, your ketchup or your mustard or whatever and kind of fold it out. It just, I don't know. When you get into the sub sandwich, it's more of a sub. And I'm thinking of, you know, obviously Subway, Jersey Mike's, Jimmy John's, stuff like that. They do kind of go through the entire slice of bread. And then, you know, so you get, it looks like a submarine and, you know, it's a sandwich like that. A sandwich is a sandwich. It's not the same with a hot dog. I think that's why they're called hot dogs and not sandwiches.
I tend to agree, and I'm a big believer that hot dog is not a sandwich. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big believer that they're very separate things. This is going to be one of those debates that it's perfect for today because nobody's going to find completely common ground on it. There's too many exceptions. But hot dog falls in the category of food. I'm going to say food because it can be just a dog or it can be a dog with chili and onions and peppers and like delicious.
Right.
That is surrounded by a singular piece of, I said a carbohydrate earlier, but any kind of carrying device. It can be like, it can be a lettuce wrap. It's whatever.
Right.
As long as it's being held by the one thing that's fully connected.
True. Fair enough. The other part from the sandwich Wikipedia page, any hot item that is placed on a bread or roll is considered a burger, which is never a sandwich.
So burgers are hot sandwiches?
Yes.
Huh.
Which I thought was interesting in that technically when
so
you...
So what about a grilled cheese?
There's no meat.
Oh, it's exclusively meat?
I think it was talking about meat that's placed on the roll. Because technically with that, you're...
So then is a ham melt a burger?
Ooh. That's interesting.
The ham melt a burger?
That's something I haven't. Well,
because I'm just remembering. I remember going to any somewhat recent University of Oregon grads or current students will get this, but going to Hamilton at about 9:59 right before they close and getting a giant ham melt that keeps them in there an extra 20 minutes. I definitely didn't say, hey, can I have the ham, like, can I have, like, the burger ham melt? No, it was a ham melt sandwich. That's how it's written down.
Yeah, I think, well, like, tuna melts are the same way. But I think that's what you're getting at is, like, when you make a burger, you've got your bun is kept separate from the burger. Like, it's not all cooked together, right? Like, you're not trying to cook the bread and also the meat.
I mean, if you know what you're doing, you'll toast it at least.
Well, sure. But, like, when you make a grilled cheese, you're putting the entire – you're creating your sandwich in one location, and then you're moving it to the stovetop to where it can be cooked.
Yes.
So that it's separate. With the burger, you're cooking the meat separately. Obviously, you're toasting your bun or whatever, but you're taking your completed top and bottom bun, and then you're placing the meat on top of it, which is what you do with a hot dog. You cook the hot dog, and then you place it into the bun.
So are we now creating a third divide of placed after cooked versus placed before cooked?
Well, those are just like melted
sandwiches. Now we've got a three-dimensional diagram that we're trying to be able to track this on, and I'm already out of my league with math as far as this is concerned. Shoot.
It's such a dumb argument that's gone too far already. This is exactly the kind of stuff that
this is what today was meant for.
This is Make You Mad Thursday, and this is just one topic of the 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 to 8 of them, and I still haven't even gotten to the best argument that I've been talking to people around the office of, which we'll probably get to next.
A couple people
brought up as well. Oh boy, it's a good one. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. Send us a call in on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571, or send us a text, 321-0824. Hit us up on Twitter as well, at Rick Nodgers, at 953thescore, at Samuel101TS. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Alex will be back with a Coors Light update and more. Make You Mad Thursday next. 95.3 The Score.
Camp sucks. That's not, you know, it is what it is. You know, I hate camp since high school. Hate it. But, you know, you just try to go out there and attack. And I think our coach do a good job of taking care of the vets. We get our work in, but he know when to scale back and kind of just let the young guys work. The goal is to be the best running back on the best team at the end of the day when it's all said and done. And I'll let you take it from there.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. I'm Nick Rogers in for Steve for the rest of the show today. We're about halfway home, so just five hours of radio left. I'm not sure. I'm bad at math. That's me. At Rick Nodgers on Twitter. Hit us up on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571, or the text line, which Steve has given me the power to, 321-0824. That was Melvin Gordon on the red carpet of the ESPYs last night talking about how much he doesn't like going to camp, which, like, duh. Everybody who's not a superstar running back or, you know, a stud wide receiver, basically, if you're not the quarterback and you are a starter, there's kind of no need to risk going through training camp and the preseason and dealing with all of this stuff and risking injury. The risk reward, you know, scales are way off in your favor. Go get paid, Melvin Gordon. Like, dude, like you're making $5 million this year with the fifth year option, taking 897 carries in four seasons. So that's 897 tackles. And as Steve always talks about, the running back is the one position where a guy, every time he gets the ball, he is basically trying to be beaten down and turned into dust by the defense every single time. And these young running backs now, teams are realizing you can actually spend an early round draft pick on them, even though before it was a whole bunch of, don't take running backs early because they're going to get hurt and you're going to be paying too much money for a guy who's not actually playing as opposed to any other position on the football field where somebody gets hurt and then they're being paid to not play. But I mean, you look at Todd Gurley taken in the same draft, and after 4 years in the league, you know, Gurley got his big extension. He's getting paid, but they're already saying he's not going to be their three down back, and he's got this arthritis in his knee, and in college he had the torn ACL, and what would he be when he got to the NFL and all of this stuff. And it's just there's so much bad things going on with being a running back that I can't imagine how seriously you have to take keeping your body in shape. And And then you're just being told by everybody that we don't value you and we don't value this position because, oh, we can always just go get the next guy. We can always find somebody else. Man, go get paid, Melvin Gordon. There's certainly a chance that the LA Chargers could work out an extension with Gordon. Looking at Spotrac, it looks like the cap space. Where did I write that down? Oh, at the end of the season, so Felipe Rios, his contract is off the books. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year. He's making $23 million. And Rivers is, what, as old as Eli Manning? because they're taken in the same draft. I think they're about the same age. Let me look up Philip Rivers, and you can do Eli Manning. We're trying to find that out. Yeah, so Philip's 37 years old with 45 kids. And, you know, that $23 million coming off the books is going to be a huge impact for the Chargers. Is Eli the same age?
38.
38. Okay, so about the same. Yeah, Phil turns 37 in December, or 38 in December. So basically playing his 37-year-old season. So you're going to have a ton of money freed up from Philip Rivers because you're not going to want to pay a guy who's 38, 39 years old $20 million a year.
Have you spoken to Charger fans? They are heavy on the Rivers bandwagon.
I know Chargers fans love them some Felipe Rios.
Oh, yeah.
But as good as he is, and you're trying to keep Melvin Gordon, who's, you know, an all-pro caliber running back if he can stay healthy, because he's only played 16 games in one season in his career, which is a problem. It's kind of hard to ask for more money when you're not playing a full season, and he's only got one of them. But you can't pay, you know, I mean, Tom Brady's always taking, you know, team-friendly contracts. Like this year, he's making the most money in his career ever. What do you got for me? You got a drop?
I mean, I need you to keep talking. It needs to, like, seem natural. I don't know.
Well, you just never. You looked really excited.
I was just waiting. I had it. Like, never mind.
All right. It's just, you know, you can't pay a guy who's going to be going into his 40s as a quarterback, you know, $20 million a year. Like, that's not how you make your team better. Like, yes, you still have to pay him. He's still a quality quarterback. There's the question is if, you know, the Chargers have another great season and they make a Super Bowl, they win a Super Bowl, which would just be incredible if the San Diego Chargers won anything ever.
LA.
They're the San Diego Chargers. It's gross that technically they're not even the LA Chargers. They're the Carson Chargers. So that's even worse.
That doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. You know, there's plenty of money that the Chargers are falling off the books. And, you know, I'm not diving into their roster at this point to see how many guys they would actually want to keep that, you know, are going to become free agents, how much more money they're going to be asking for, these kind of things. But, you know, Philip Rivers is taking less money, even if he's down to, say, like $17 million a year. That's an extra $5 million you can drop into Melvin Gordon's pockets. And if he's going to ask for maybe like David Johnson money at about $13 million, the cap money that's opening up by just 2021, you know, 2 years from now, is just $40 million in allotted cap money. So I think if you're a Chargers fan, I wouldn't be too worried about Melvin Gordon, you know, taking off or demanding a trade. The list of teams that have a lot of cap space that need running backs, also pretty slim. I think Buffalo is one that came to mind. They don't have the most cap space. I think it's only down at $22 million right now, according to Spotrac. But they could use a running back because LeSean McCoy, very old, getting up there in age. And Josh Allen was their leading rusher last year.
Really?
Yes. Which is probably the number one sign that the Bills should be at the front of the pack to go after a guy who is going into his fifth year on the league and like pay him a lot of money. Like, I'm sure Bills Mafia would absolutely love having Melvin Gordon around, but I think, you know, Charger fans are going to want him to stay around too, because if you've got an experienced quarterback, a wide receiver in Keenan Allen, who is, you know, an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver, and an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber running back, like, those are three huge keys with a young defense that is super talented. Like, Derwin Absolutely. James is a monster. Like, this team is set up to win, and it sucks that, like, right now, Melvin's just like, hey, I'm going to be Le'Veon Bell. I'm not going to play until you give me my money.
What is that equal? More money.
Love it. So let's get back to Make You Mad Thursday. We've gone over ketchup on a hot dog. We've gone over, is a hot dog a sandwich? I think we've talked ourselves into enough of a circle that a hot dog is actually a burrito for some reason. Let's get to a couple quick ones here. Pie or cake?
Everybody else is going to say pie, and maybe it's just because I still have a younger, like, kid's palate or whatever, but chocolate cake with like a good scoop of vanilla ice cream, it's over. That's too good.
No, pie.
That's fine. You can be old and grumpy if you want to.
Pie's better. It's so hard to find a good cake. Like, you think of
But I'm telling you, yes, it is harder to find good cake, but what I'm telling you is that when you do find good cake, it's unbelievable. It's out of this world.
Right, but it's so hard to find that.
Find a good cake-tress. Caker. Find
Baker.
A good, yeah, I know, but yes, but that specifies in, like, specializes, I should say, in cake. A good friend of mine, his mother growing up, she was a baker. She did cakes all the time. Oh, out of this world.
Sure, I understand there are good cakes out there, but if you're trying to find a good cake versus a good pie, it's easier to not mess up pie than it is to mess up cake. You've got frosting and the sponge and flavors and
That just means it's difficult. Yeah, you're right. You actually have some skill to do it. Oh, shocker. All of a sudden, the minute you need some skill to do something, it's just not as good because nobody can do it. No, it's really good if you can get somebody who knows what they're doing.
But those are expensive compared to pies, which are easy and taste delicious always. Think of the crust options.
I understand the crust options. Trust me,
a good
graham cracker crust. Oh, get out of here. It's so good. I'm not saying it's not good. It's very good. I love pie. I love sweets in general, but man, nothing. If you find good cake, you're not beating it.
I take pie. Pancake or waffle?
Waffle. It is designed to hold syrup and whipped cream or strawberries, whatever you put on there, or all three.
It's got the pockets. They get crunchy. You get them in the Belgian waffle maker. You flip it over, and you know it's got the deep holes. It holds your butter, like you said, the syrup and everything.
Waffles are one of the rare food that, of course, homemade and everything is like amazing. It's so good, but frozen waffles are still great.
Oh yeah,
like they're one of the solid rare foods that like oh yeah, one of the rare foods that the frozen version is like it's good. It's really good.
You can't. Yeah, I've tried the frozen pancake thing before. It was it was even. I think it was like the mini like dollar coin size pancakes or whatever. But you could only cook them in the microwave, and they would just kind of either get like. Some of them would get super hard and crusty, and then others would be cold in the middle. But when you put the frozen waffle in the toaster, like you know it's going to get crunchy, and you know it's going to be a waffle, and it's perfect. Pineapple on pizza. This is the one.
This is the one that divides a nation.
This is the one that if Steve is out listening right now, he's going to drive in. He's going to burst through the doors. He's going to have every door that he would have walked through ripped off the hinges around his shoulders. His face is going to be the most red it's ever been. I think he'd just pick me up and throw me out of the window for what I'm about to say, which is that you can put pineapple on pizza. It does make good pizza.
It can. I think that people have to be careful with it. With great power comes great responsibility. And if you're the one putting things on a pizza, man, if you got pineapple in your hand, you better know what you're doing. That better be seared. It better be like, or still they're grilled right. It better be paired with Canadian bacon. You have to do it right. You can't just throw it on there willy-nilly.
That's exactly what I was going for. When you get the Hawaiian pizza with your Canadian bacon, like you're thinking of all of the heavy things that go on that pizza, and you need something light to break it up. It's why when you get like a combo pizza and you get those the peppers and onions are on there, you get like the crunch factor and you get things are you know, it tastes better. You get the change in flavor, the change in texture. It works. And when you get the Canadian pizza, you've got the heavy dough, the heavy sauce, the salty ham. You need that acidic pop from the pineapple. Like, that's good. That's when pineapple on pizza is acceptable. You can't do, like, a barbecue chicken from, you know, or anywhere. Just be like, yeah, let's go with the most meat. And then, we'll throw pineapple on there. It's why it doesn't work with pepperoni. Pepperoni is such a strong flavor. It would overpower the pineapple. It wouldn't go well together. But the ham is just salty enough that it's different enough that you can put it on pizza.
My good friend Adam Sussman just had to text me. And he had to remind me that, in his opinion, pie is better. But also, he's claiming that pineapple is the best topping on pizza. Out of all the toppings, pineapple is the best one. I'm responding to him right now that that's one of the hotter takes I've ever seen
in
my life.
The best topping is, like, pepperoni is the best topping. It's a classic pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Pepperoni and olives is a very solid pizza.
A big question is, do you consider cheese a topping or just a necessity like sauce?
Okay, so this is what gets to, this is from Twitter earlier today on @953thescore. I threw out there, what are some dumb arguments that you've gotten into with your friends over the years, sports or non-sports related? This is from BFF of the show, @Jeromney, who tweeted that he's gotten into arguments with friends over at what point when you're making a pizza, does it become a pizza? So the cornerstone of pizza, when you're building it up, is it when you put the sauce on, or is it when you put the cheese on?
I would say it's when you put the sauce on for one reason.
Okay.
Barbecue chicken pizza is still pizza. That doesn't always necessarily have cheese on it. You'll either have you'll either have like barbecue sauce or sometimes a white sauce pizza.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily have like the sprinkled Parmesan or sprinkled mozzarella on it, but we still consider it a pizza because it's flat rolled out dough
with sauce on it. Like that's
yeah,
a pizza.
Yeah, with a sauce on it and other toppings.
Right.
So the key is sauce and other toppings.
See, I thought about this one as well, and I talked to Beefcake, one of our from KNRQ, and I was talking to him about this because I had a couple of questions and our big one coming up as well, Grizzly versus Silverback Gorilla. And he said that it's when you put the sauce on. You've created that second layer that's created the pizza.
But if you see a person eating, and I don't know the answer to this, if you see a person just eating a piece of dough or a baked piece of dough with sauce on it, are you like, they're having a pizza? Are you like, oh, they have sauce on their, you have sauce on their dough? Because if you got like a breadstick, for example, if you go to a pizza place that's like the flat breadsticks,
right,
and you just pour sauce on top of that, did you just make a pizza, or do you now just have sauce on bread or on dough?
See, I wouldn't have thought to have called it pizza, but then he brought up, and I thought of it too, was the margarita pizza, which is just like kind of your dough. It's got the red sauce, and then it's got a little basil, a little, you know, quarter dime piece of mozzarella on it, and like that's your pizza. Like it's mostly sauce with like a little bit of cheese. You think of a cheese pizza as well. Cheese is a topping. Cheese is optional to put on top of the pizza.
But then how come
meaning
when I'm
the pizza is dough plus sauce?
How come anytime you ever order a pizza and they say two toppings, that does not include cheese? They are the pizza experts. They are the pizza companies. If they don't say it is, then
well,
who's
I think
to
most
say?
People just assume that cheese goes on it. I think it would be weird to count cheese as a topping.
So if we're saying that cheese is not a topping, it's a necessity, then what we're agreeing with is that you have to then have it on there for it to be pizza, for it to be a necessity.
But some people
it has to be
can't,
on
like people are lactose intolerant and they can't have cheese on their pizza, so they need the pizza to just be dough, sauce, and then toppings on top of that, right?
Yes. I mean, so I'm sure that there are plenty of
if you had somebody on a dietary restriction who yep. wasn't eating, who's like, hey, can you get a pizza without cheese on it, yep. but I still want the toppings?
Pretty common.
You would
thing.
Still be like, okay, yeah, you're having pizza. It just doesn't look
pizza,
like a pizza. Because if you just had bread and cheese.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's cheesy bread. Cheesy bread isn't pizza.
Cheesy bread's good, though.
Cheesy bread's good. Cheesy bread's not pizza. But I can see how that argument could like cause people to fight and become like not friends anymore.
Yeah.
It's heated in here. Mm-hmm. It's aggressive.
There's somebody streaming this over in Italy. It's probably like, none of what you guys are talking about is pizza. Go away.
Well, that's what like the margarita pizza is,
yeah,
as well.
It's like an actual authentic.
Right. You know, pizza. That's the thing. It's like, you know, the pizza actually shouldn't have that many toppings on it. And we've Americanized it to the point where we've ruined the idea of pizza by, you know, doing the American thing, which is going above and beyond everything else we've done. I don't know. It's very interesting. I got a text from my mom as well. She's anti-pineapple on pizza. So I don't understand how I can have the opposite food opinions as both of my parents. My dad is no ketchup on hot dogs. I'm perfectly okay with it. He's no ketchup on steaks, which I agree with as well.
Yeah.
And my mom is no pineapple on pizza, which I'm okay with. It's not like pineapple pizza isn't my favorite pizza.
Me neither.
But, you know, we've had Papa John's brought in and stuff like that during the week. And I have been called a fascist and a communist by Steve dozens of times by walking in and showing off my pineapple pizza.
Okay,
to
but
him.
Is he calling you that just for that? Or is he calling you that for other reasons too?
It could be other reasons. I think it is mostly just that it's the pineapple on pizza.
It's mostly
he's,
that one
he's
piece.
The East Coast New Yorker who's just like, it's cheese, it's thin crust pizza, it's a slice that's as big as your head, and you
well,
fold
I
it up.
Well, I realize that, but
it.
Also, in this country specifically, food is very regionalized. Even right. if you go from New York to Chicago to the South, all of a sudden you have three very different styles of pizza right there. It's still, there needs to be guidelines on this so we can figure this out. But the truth of the matter is, if you are having that, if you have that dough or whatever it might be on the bottom, thin crust, thick crust, deep dish, whatever you want to do, and it is covered with a sauce of some kind, whether
that
is barbecue, whether it is
white
sauce, whether it is red sauce, and then that has some kind of topping on it, whether it's just a little sprinkle of basil, any kind of topping on that, you're in pizza.
So then you're saying it's the third. So if we're building the layers here, essentially, what you're saying is that you have two essential bases, which is dough and then any kind of sauce, but then it doesn't become a pizza until you put a third thing on.
You've got sauce on dough. And I'm still willing to say that sauce is it's three very important pieces. The sauce, what you're putting the sauce on, and what you're putting on top. There just has to be something. Just something before you
So you're saying it's not a pizza step. Until there's a third thing on it.
You must make that last step.
Interesting.
You must get from A to B to C.
So this is a tweet in from at Duckman2009. Anyone who says pineapple is the best topping is garbage. So that goes to your friend,
wow.
I believe.
I'm taking offense for my boy right now.
I make pizza for a living. It's hot garbage. I look down on people who get it regardless of other toppings, that being pineapple, which is incredible. He also says sauce and cheese make it a pizza. So again, it's
something
that,
on top.
That's that third layer of making... I can see where you guys are coming from, where it's like, okay, yes, a pizza is going to have the dough. It's going to have the sauce on it if you're making a flatbread or a pizza or whatever it is. Like, you've gotten to that point.
If I'm ordering online, is there an option to have no toppings? If not, if there is no option...
I'm pretty sure you can order pizza without cheese on it because...
Well, yes, but I'm talking no toppings. Like, could you order just pizza with just sauce on it?
Probably.
I'm gonna try.
You're paying for it. We don't have the budget to pay for that pizza.
I'll get the checkout and the bail.
So let us know what you think. Call us on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. You can text us as well, 321-0824. When does pizza become pizza? At 953 the score for the station on Twitter, at Rick Nodgers for me, at Samuel101TS for intern Sam. We're gonna take a break. We are running late. We're gonna come back for the final segment of the 4 o'clock hour next. 95.3 the score.
There was a vicious collision at home, and Luke Roy is shaken up at the moment, and he looks dazed right now.
Yes, he does.
Luke Roy had gotten to his knees, and now they're going to lay him down. And, boy, he is in a lot of pain right now. In a violent collision. You just don't see these anymore at home plate.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Nick Rogers in for Steve Tannen for the rest of the show today and for the rest of the week. So Steve's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. That was KLAA 8:30 a.m. Angels Radio. Terry Smith and Mark Langston on the call. That was going back to something that happened last Sunday, which was Jake Marisnik colliding with Jonathan Lucroy at the plate. And it was actually announced today that baseball has announced that Astros outfielder Jake Marisnik has been suspended for 2 games and issued an undisclosed fine after colliding with Jonathan Lucroy. Joe Torre, MLB's chief baseball officer, said that after reviewing the play from all angles, I've concluded that Jake's actions warrant discipline. Well, I do not believe that Jake intended to injure Jonathan. The contact he initiated in his attempt to score violated official baseball rule 6.01I. I think it's one, maybe subsection one, which is designed to protect catchers from precisely this type of collision. I couldn't agree more. I don't think that when Marisnik took off tagging up trying to score from third, he was eventually ruled out actually on a replay challenge from the umpires for, you know, breaking this rule. I don't think his goal when he took off was just, I'm going to bowl over Lucroy. It's just there's one angle where it's behind home plate looking back up the third baseline, and Lucroy is standing in front of the plate, and he takes a step kind of up the third baseline. He's not blocking the base path. He's giving Marisnik plenty of room to go around him. And Marisnik is staring down Lucroy the entire time. You can see exactly what he's focused on. And Marisnik, for some reason, takes 2 steps inside towards Lucroy and lowers his shoulder into his face. Lucroy, I mean, you know, hasn't played. The game was the last game before the All-Star break on Sunday. So he's had 3-4 days off. But, you know, I think he's been placed on the DL, the 7-day concussion DL. He might have had a broken nose. He was, you know, out in the fencer's response on the field after that. So I do commend Joe Torre and Major League Baseball for coming through with a suspension for that play. Brad Ausmus had said after the game that MLB should consider some type of suspension, saying that it could have been a split second decision at full speed to slide headfirst on the inside part of the plate. Mariznick had apologized on Twitter and hoped for the best for Lucroy. He did look really, you know, distraught after he ran into Lucroy in the moment. He went over and, you know, touched his chest, tried to see if he was okay, but the trainers came out and got him out of there before, you know, Lucroy tried to hurt himself or get up too quickly from that injury, especially if he had ended up with a concussion, because that would have been it's not very good for that to happen. So good for Major League Baseball for doing that. And I think that's about all the time that we've got, almost all the time we've got here. We're coming back with more Make You Mad Thursdays. We've got a couple more debates. We've got the big one coming that everybody's been talking about. We've covered pineapple on pizza pretty thoroughly. Some very strong takes about how people feel about pineapple on pizza, which, you know, I get honoring pizza and it being this very delicious food that you want to treat the right way, but it's just a fruit.
It's a Make You Mad Thursday, though, right?
It is a Make You Mad Thursday. People are certainly mad. I've got a classic Would You Rather. Crystal or regular Pepsi was another one from Twitter. And Silverback Gorilla versus a Grizzly Bear. So let us know what your opinion, what you think about that on the text line, 321-0824, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. And on Twitter, the trio for today, at 953 the score for the station, at Rick Nodgers for myself, and at Samuel101. TS for intern Sam. We're going to go ahead and take a break. The final hour of a Thursday coming up next, 95.3 The Score.